This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For the Players, the pop culture is PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined. I thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, simply join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. Or if you're feeling generous, head over to Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show your love to Pop Culturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts and cups and mugs and bags. And none of us are wearing Popsy shirts today. But...
If we were,
we would have bought it from the shop. There are new designs coming next week. So keep an eye out there. There'll be a sale as well to celebrate those new shirts.
Look out.
Get pumped. And of course, we are now Twitch affiliated, so head over there and give us some follows and stuff. His face in the middle. This is Jono Peck.
Hello.
He's back.
I'm back.
How are you, man?
I'm really good.
Well, I should give you the full runner. So this is Jono Peck, previously of Explosion Network,
yes.
Now of 8-Bit.
Correct.
And still putting in work.
And joining Generation Play at the moment.
Yes, and working alongside fellow Geelong bros Generation Play.
Yeah. We're going to be doing a bit of...
Split screen?
Yeah, we're doing Split Screen, which is kind of a weird like radio program that we've turned into a YouTube video series as well. So it's split up with ads and that kind of thing. But you don't see the ads on the video. We just go, and now a quick break, and then it just kind of fades out.
If there's anything Ryan and I know, it's radio.
Yeah. It's funny enough, we miss ad breaks. We miss song breaks. I used to really break it up.
I miss the format of radio.
It's weird to see a counter and be like, I have to wrap up what I'm saying right now, and there we go.
Yeah, but also like not having a camera in your face as well. Sure. I mean...
We would never present it.
Yeah, no, but I mean, no. I'm wearing tank tops half the time. Those studios got hot.
But this is both, so we're doing it for radio or for streaming, but also knowing there's a camera there. But yeah, that's fine. And I'm going to be just doing a few more like bits and pieces of maybe Let's Plays and reviews and some discussions with Chris over there. So yeah, it's going to be fun, but
cool.
Yeah, the 8-Bit stuff's going really well too.
Nice.
And it's great to be here for my second time.
Yeah.
How many repeat... guests have you had?
Paul's been here 3 times.
Twice. 3, really?
Maybe.
Oh, you know, yeah, I think you're right, 3.
Yeah, because the one we did the mini PS1, and then we did maybe 2 or 3.
I'm pretty sure it's 3. I think he's been here.
He's pretty much the good go-to.
He's been here with you twice when I've been away for various reasons.
And then we did one together.
And then we all did one together.
And he doesn't even live here.
No, because he's a fan. So if I'm like, hey, Josh is out, he's like, can I come? Yeah,
sure. It's not even a question. Like, just come on, come here on Saturday.
Yeah. Just like 1 o'clock? He's like, yeah, 1 o'clock. Yeah.
But you are a close runner-up.
Yeah, so I'm going to overtake Paul. That's my goal.
Yeah, and that's 2 more than Jack Cruz.
Yes, it is. Sorry, Jack. Jack really wishes he could have... been here this weekend.
Yeah, can't talk about that, but we did have some plans.
Stay tuned, yes.
Yeah,
collaboration between 8-Bit and the Popsy crew, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, Jack will be here soon enough. He does want to come on the show.
He's keen.
More than happy to have him here.
Mm-hmm. Takes pressure off us.
Yeah, and because I just did his show, so it's the least I can
do. Yeah, that went really well too.
Oh, really?
Thank you. Is what it is on the 8-Bit Collective, if you haven't seen it yet, 8bit.net.
It's a good show, man.
Check out Ryan spouting off on news and politics.
Yeah, that's right. Get some of those lukewarm takes. Some were hot, some were just like not that good.
I love the ones where you're like, people shouldn't do this, but I'm about to do this.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what I'm sick of? People having an opinion about the Me Too movement. So here's my opinion on the Me Too movement.
That was good.
And how people shouldn't have opinions. Yeah, that was good fun.
Yeah.
But anyways, what have you been playing, man?
I've been playing a lot because there was a slow start to the year.
8 months since you've been here. Yeah. I'm sure you've played a couple of things.
I finally finished Persona. That was
the
last time I was here. I was like, oh, it's going to take me forever. But no, I finished it ages ago.
How many hours did it take you?
120.
Yeah, that's about where I was at when I cleaned it up.
20 too many, definitely.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Nah,
yeah.
I'm in New Game Plus now.
Oh, really?
I'm chipping away
at
that.
The game's been calling me all week.
Yeah.
I've seen it here and there, and then Josh shows me his brand new phone with his sweet... Persona 5 messaging layout.
Texting app.
And then I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's the, only thing that, the only thing that could get me to switch over, I think, is that.
It kind of, yeah, it made me regret Joss getting a new iPhone.
Yeah. But what? Yeah.
That did. I'm like, oh, I could do shit like that.
Yeah, you could, yeah.
But this year, in 2018, I had a slow start because it wasn't really anything grabbing me. I decided it was a good chance to get like a lot of writing done because I'm working on my second book now, Spy and the Maven, now so scooped, available yeah. on Amazon. So yeah, I was doing heaps of writing, just waiting for the storm that was approaching, which has been Ni No Kuni 2, which I finished.
Far Cry.
Loved it. Yep. Yeah. Really did. I got it a little early thanks to Chris with Generation Play, and yeah, just plowed through it. It must have been about 50 hours, I think. Mm-hmm. And there's still heaps of side quests and stuff to do, but nothing that they're not the kind that they're mostly fetch quests and that kind of thing.
So they don't add to the world or anything like that.
Yeah. And I'm a huge fan of the first one. I don't know if you guys played it, but it didn't quite reach the emotional and storytelling heights, but the game
first cutscene in the first one, I was like, oh
yeah, depressing.
Yeah,
yeah, it gets you right in there, and this one doesn't quite have that pull and the depth of characters, but it's still a really great game, and I would definitely recommend it if you do enjoy very pretty Japanese RPGs at that.
But we both, I think, talked about this before, but we both tried it at like PAX and EB Expo, I think. Yeah. And I think it was just a very bad slice.
Cause we're really?
I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, I played two of the demos there. There was one that's like the world map battles, which is an added feature. Yeah, really. And then there was an actual, like the real-time, like action fights.
Thing.
The other one.
Basically button mashing.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, that was really good. Finished that, got straight into Far Cry 5, which I'm probably 2/3 through now.
Nice.
I also finished A Way Out, which I played through with my brother. So yeah, it's been a good couple of months. Haven't been getting any
credits to the year. It's a pretty good start.
Yeah.
But I've got, come on, say it. I know you want to say it.
No, keep going.
Can I, how many credits you got?
I'm on 8 now.
Oh.
I've now 4 times my last year.
I still say it's 5.
Why?
Because 3 of those games you were 75% through last year.
Some of them.
How do you feel about that?
Which games were they?
Wolfenstein, South Park.
I was about a third of the way through, so I took a big hunk out of it this year. South Park's the only one that I'll question because I was like 80% of the way through on that one.
Uh-huh.
And what was the other one? I have a list on my phone. I'm too lazy to have a look.
Hey man, that's between you and
we'll wait till the end of the year audience, wait till the end of the year to really
look,
get
into everyone that. Gives me shit, but like seeing as I played 60 something games last year.
Oh, God of War, one of them.
Three, yeah, but that one I'll question too because I was really close to the end on that one.
So I'm slowly chipping away at you, resolve. I'm
compromising. But no, this week I have finished God of War Ghost of Sparta on PSP, but on Vita.
Mm.
Yeah,
because my PS4 is out of the house at the moment.
Why?
Can't talk about it.
Super
yeah,
secret.
It's out of the house, so I've had to.
Will that be like next FTP reveal?
It'll be just before next FTP, but we can talk about it next FTP.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Tune in for that.
So, although I have a fully capable gaming PC and an Xbox
and a Switch,
I'm like, I'm just going to play Vita.
That PlayStation holds just a little bit too strong.
Yeah. This is the PlayStation conversation.
So I played that, and I just started Chains of Olympus as well. Because my goal was to try to get as much God of War in as I can.
They're like the only ones, because they were on PS Plus, that I've actually played.
Yeah.
And I didn't like them. I played them for like 5 minutes, and I was like, it doesn't hold up.
They're not quite as good, and it is very difficult to look at.
They feel like just press square to win.
Yeah, like it doesn't quite have the.
That's a good like a new outlet name. Press square to win.
Yeah, not quite as in depth as like the third one.
Yeah.
By far. Now I've not played Ascension either, so I'll have to jump into that once I'm done. But these are like nice 5-hour stints. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll just chip away at it and done.
Other than that,
what else have I done? That's it. I'm pretty simple. Josh.
Not much. I mean, I'm in that, like, I can't start anything now because we get God of War in a few days from now.
Yeah.
So I don't feel the pull to, like, sit down and start playing something new. So I've just been playing Fortnite and Rocket League, just alternating between those. It's good got old. My first solo win in Fortnite last weekend. That was
well done.
Woo.
Was that hard?
Yeah, it was.
I don't know anything about Fortnite.
That's
'cause
well, you choke.
Watching the pros, they're like, you should be winning like 20% of all your games, and I've won yeah. 1 out of 100, maybe.
I put 40 something hours in PUBG, and I'm still yet to win.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to get in with some people that are good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, look, I'm really good at riding coattails. We're only here right yeah. now because of the coattails we've ridden.
But
yeah.
like, but I mean, I was getting like real pissy at Fortnite when I die, like, oh fucking, you know, assholes and whatever else. But now that I've got a win under my belt, I'm just happy to play. Like, you know, there's no pressure. I can win whenever I want. I just don't feel like winning for this game. And yeah, Rocket League, I always, whenever I've got nothing to play, Rocket League's always fun just to fire up and play with some balls.
Very nice. Mm. Side plug, you also finished Shadow of War this year, didn't you?
I did finish Shadow of War this year. That was one of the games that came out with like Mario. I didn't play Mario, but Wolfenstein and South Park, and it was a really busy time. So I waited and played that. And yeah, I did just interview the Monolith Productions VP of Creative, Mike DePlater. I'm putting in work.
Wow.
Really cool guy from Adelaide and Sydney, and has just done so many amazing things in the game industry since like the mid 90s. So
yeah, I was listening to it previously, and like it was a great story because he's like, he helped make like some of the early rugby league games out of Australia, and the AFL 98, which, you know, Paul would have been a big fan of.
Yeah.
I remember playing that on PC and like thinking, oh, cool, they made a game in Australia. You know? But just the way he got into it was so bizarre. Like, he was playing a game and saw that there was like billboards in the game, and he was like, oh, I'm going to approach Coca-Cola and see if they want to buy ads in the game. And then from there, he's now making like Shadow of War. Like,
it's awesome.
Directing the team, getting up on stage at E3 and presenting it to the world for the first time. Like, yeah, awesome stuff. And you know, that it's all about the progression from one thing to the next. EA Sports, Creative Assembly, he did some Tom Clancy stuff with Ubisoft, and now with those guys. So yeah, that was really cool to talk to him. So
he's made it.
Check that out if that sounds cool to you.
Putting where can they check that out again? I'm just gonna drop plugs throughout the entire show. Just
one. I mean, Putting In Work's on iTunes and Google and everything, but the website's 8bit.net/PRW, ATEBRT. And
I've also shamelessly been on that show too.
You're just a show slut.
You sure have.
Josh's turn next.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Speaking of your turn next.
But I don't put in work. I just fart my way through the day.
Second show, lazing about.
You're failing the audition.
Today on Lazing About, we got Josh. What are we doing?
That's the show where people talk about how much they've succeeded without putting any work. Yeah. Like, how did you get here? Like, instead of
It's
basically like Michael Cera's career. Like, you just stumbled into the studio and just flopped his way through.
I had friends in the right places, and now I'm the star of Superbad.
Anyway, I like Michael Cera.
I like Michael Cera a lot. Right. No, I really
enjoy
it.
Scott Pilgrim, come on.
Yeah. That's Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim is amazing.
Anyways.
And what is it, Juno?
We're up to now. Let's move into the news in the week, which we call Inform the Players. I had a massive brain fart. We tell you the PlayStation news that happened this week. Joshua.
We got fuck all. It's a very slow week this week. Your next segment. Just not a lot going on, really. Got 5 bits of news that I kind of scraped.
That's the end of the segment. It's like, fuck all. All right, head to the main topic.
Number one, the British Academy of Film and Television Arts BAFTA Game Awards were held in London this week. And in a surprise twist, Giant Sparrow's What Remains of Edith Finch was crowned Best Game. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice was also a big winner, scoring 5 awards, including Best British Game for Cambridge-based studio Ninja Theory. Last year's fan favourite, Zelda Breath of the Wild, scored 1 award for Game Innovation. I don't like that game very much. While Super Mario Odyssey picked up 2, Best Family Game and Best Game Design, but because it's a PlayStation show, Horizon Zero Dawn picked up Best Original Property and Cuphead won for Best Music. So, is Horizon. What Remains of Edith Finch really that good? I mean, I've heard it's good.
Yeah, it is.
And I've seen it on the PlayStation Store on special. I'm like, duh.
It's fantastic. If you do like those narrative-driven games, it's one of the better walking simulators.
Yeah.
And it's not a long game. It's something you can get through. Like, you know, I did it in one Twitch stream, basically.
Oh, nice.
And
I like them in small. I couldn't play, like, walking simulators for a weekend. But, yeah, like, in small bursts.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. I liked it so much more than, like, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else has been.
Stanley Parable?
I haven't played that one.
Okay,
no,
I hear good things about that.
The cool thing about this is it the way that unveils a story. It's kind of like Gone Home if things actually happened. Like Gone Home is a great game, but like you just, it's all about like the discovering things. But this is, there's flashbacks, and I'm not going to spoil it because there's so many kind of surreal things that happen in this game. But
yeah,
it's a lot more than just, oh, what's this room? Let's try and read everything in here and discover what happened. Like there's, it presents it in a much more interesting way.
Now, potential spoilers. Is this one where like it's a family and then you have to work out someone died or some shit?
Yeah, everyone's pretty much died, but you're like figuring out like how each person died.
Yeah, like each room has like different themes, and so some are really fucked and some are simple.
Yeah, I guess that's the pitch.
Hey, it's a house with a full of dead people, and some of the rooms are fucked. What remains of Edith Finch? Game, best game at the back.
Pretty sure that's how they did it on at E3 when they presented it.
Yeah. Like you got on stage, like this is Blur from Blur. All right, check it out.
Yeah. But yeah, Horizon. You know, Horizon deserves all the awards it gets.
Yeah, for best original, essentially original IP. That's
but I mean,
I don't understand the original property thing when Edith Finch is an original property as well.
Yeah, it's and kind that of, maybe it's kind of like game. Yeah, best, maybe it's like best written versus like best picture kind of thing.
Maybe it's like the world they've created as an original property is significantly more interesting than just a story that's being told in this, in What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
I don't know. But yeah, I was kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for news this week, and that seemed something we could have a discussion about. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt has received a patch for the PS4 and PS4 Pro. It makes the game's incredible world even more vibrant. In a post on the game's official website, CD Projekt Red announced the update adds HDR support to the game, which increases color vibrancy, allowing for deeper blacks and brighter whites for PS4 Pro players. And there's also some performance optimization and stuff. So I reckon because you've got like all the good gear, just fire it up and just...
Yeah, you know, I certainly will.
Get credits to roll on Witcher 3.
Oh, no chance. Oh, side note, might add, my fucking 53-year-old... 53? I don't know. My stepdad, old as shit, has smashed Witcher in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
The game. All two expansions. Like, there is nothing he can physically left doing that in
Does
that
he have the platinum?
I don't think so.
Well,
actually, he may have without even realizing. Because he hasn't told me. He's like, oh, yeah, I finished The Witcher. I'm like, really?
Define finished The Witcher.
I know for a fact that my mum's like, he won't stop playing.
If you're going to play one game obsessively, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And then he fell down the rat. Like, so he's finished. He's in the 2 years he's had a PS4, he's done the entire Uncharted franchise. So all four plus Lost Legacy. He just did The Last of Us. So he's even beat me there, motherfucker. I still finished Last of Us.
You suck. Yeah. You are not qualified to host this show.
I know.
I've tried. I've tried, man, so many times.
Hey, I
don't know what to play. We've got like a month of nothing. Play The Last of Us. Oh, yeah, I got about an hour and a half in. I had to start again because I forgot everything. Every time. Like four times you've had to restart
the
game.
Every time I've got a little bit further.
Yeah.
But so he just finished Horizon as well, plus the DLC.
Skyrim.
Huh?
If it was Skyrim.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's playing Skyrim now. I'm like, oh, you're good.
Your dad's playing it, my dad's playing it in VR on his HTC Vive. Yeah.
So if The Last of Us was in, like, I don't know, what's another one of those Elder Scrolls lands?
If it was The Elder Scrolls 6, The Last of Us, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
The Last of Morrowind or something.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's cool to see all these games, you know, still getting, you know, PS4 Pro patches.
It makes sense. The game is visually stunning, like, already, and now it's going to look even better.
Yeah.
And the, which expansion is it? The Blood and Wine expansion is already crazy vibrant. Like
that's the second one, the one that's more like Fantasy Kingdom.
It's one in Toussaint, I think it's called. I think that's the area.
Yeah, so it's it has a real like Alice in Wonderland kind of vibe to a lot of some of the. Like,
isn't that the one where Geralt gets fucked up on some drugs and he can talk to Roach for a while?
Probably.
They go to some. I've watched like all the cutscenes. They go to some place and Geralt eats some shrooms or something, and he can talk to his horse, and his horse can talk. But the horse is like some hippie's like, "Hey man, what's going on?" He's like, "Hey man, what's going on, man?" And Geralt's like, but they break the fourth wall because Geralt's like, "I can whistle, and you'll come across the ocean, and you'll be right behind me." But then you get stuck on the smallest bit of it. It's like, the roach is like, "Hey man, I don't program the game." I don't know. And the cool thing is, if you abandon the quest and just leave, Roach will finish it for you and then come back. He's like, oh, finish the thing.
I feel like I don't remember that at all.
I've seen all the cutscenes are strung together on YouTube. And
I've played the whole
fucking
thing.
Fucking hilarious. It's apparently a side quest.
Yeah, maybe I missed that one. That's crazy. But yeah, that game is super vibrant and like the saturation is like turned right up. So I imagine that will look really cool now.
Worldwide sales of Resident Evil 7 have reached 5.1 million units. That's Capcom shared the news in a press release where the game publisher also announced its first-person horror game received the award for Best VR Audio at the 2018 Game Audio Network Guild Awards.
It's a very specific event.
Yeah, Resident Evil 5 is still the top-selling game in Capcom's popular horror franchise with a total of 7.2 million. So I reckon Resident Evil 5 will eventually... 7 will eclipse... 5 eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Just needs another 2.1 million units.
As more people are buying VR, people are going to keep picking it up.
I never ended up finishing it, actually.
Yeah, me either, because I think I went to your dad.
Yeah, my dad's still got it. Yeah, he's been ready to give it back for months.
Can you steal it? Because I want
to... But yeah, Capcom are doing well. You know, Monster Hunter is, you know, their best-selling game ever. And all that, a lot of other accolades for that.
Street Fighter, but they don't count, right?
Yeah, apparently it doesn't count. Like, the 18 different versions of Street Fighter...
Yeah, and see, that's the technicality, yeah?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, Street Fighter 2, maybe, if you count 18 years of ports and remakes and shit like that. But, you know, then Tetris will probably have the mantle forever.
Wait, I said 30s. It's like, when did it come out? Like,
I don't know. It would have been, it's 30, probably 28 or 25 years.
Mm. Older than you.
Why, do you feel old now?
No, because in my head, it was like 20 years ago. I'm like, oh, wait, that's like 10 years more.
Metal Gear Solid, it was 20 years ago. Kind of cool.
I just got real for a second. Shit.
Yeah. Number 4. I didn't know where to go with that because I felt really old. Really. Number 4. Canadian rapper Drake has agreed to bring his love of Fortnite into his music, but only if developer Epic will meet him halfway with an in-game emote based on the music video for his hit song Hotline Bling. As Kotaku reports, Drake addressed the idea of rapping about Fortnite during a recent call with his streamer Tyler Ninja Blevins. Quote, "It has to happen. It has to happen. It's just got to be the right way," Drake said. "Someone's going to do it. Someone's going to pull it off. I say when Epic gives me the emote, when Epic gives me the Hotline Bling emote, I'll do it. Until then, I'm on strike."
That's so going to happen.
Oh, it's definitely going to happen. Like,
this isn't the first stream they did together.
No.
This was the third.
Yeah.
Not
the record-breaking one.
Not the record-breaking one, but... It's just, I'm really loving, like, I don't really like Drake or his music. I mean, I don't like his music, but I don't really like his music, but he seems like a cool guy. Just from the clips I've heard of him talking and stuff, he seems like
he's a cool guy.
So I'm just liking this, like, blending of worlds, in a way.
It is crazy. Like, he's in the kind of NBA world as well, because he's a huge Toronto Raptors fan, but I've seen, like, NBA players streaming Fortnite and PUBG lately, and I'm like... Oh,
and like, you see like clips of
like it's nothing.
Like someone got a goal in soccer and he did like the loser dance from Fortnite. Another one got a three-pointer in basketball. He quickly does like the little bandage emote like you're in Fortnite. It's just
It's one of those games.
This is a
like,
cultural phenomenon.
It's transcending, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, we like PUBG like got to the upper echelon of gaming, but Fortnite has it's a cultural thing now. Mm. It's fucking everywhere, and having people, artists as big as Drake, like, I'm down to play it. I'm down to like rap about it
that
on my album.
That's gonna blow up.
Yeah, and probably blow as well.
Oh yeah, it's gonna blow. It's gonna be very good. Yeah.
Building walls. Yeah.
Building walls, shooting chop.
Hope I don't.
Right out.
Hope I don't fall off the wall. but yeah, it's cool. It's every
like
week
a pop
there's
culture's video.
But yeah, every week it's like, you know, Fortnite has done this, Fortnite has done that, and you kind of go, when is it going to stop? And then the next week there's something else. It's just crazy. And top selling games for week ending 8th of April.
Oh, before we jump there, hasn't the internet just been dying with Fortnite right now, because it's been out for like a day?
Day before yesterday, as of time of recording, it was down for 14 hours.
Mm. The world exploded.
It's just, people are addicted, man. It's like people were having literal withdrawals, just going through the subreddit and everything. People need help.
That's... okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it has brought...
I can relate. I miss my PlayStation.
But, you know, it has brought a lot of few issues. Like, a game like this, with, you know, this many players to do such big patches, you probably do need, like, a public test server or something to iron out all the bugs before you drop it on the live servers. But, you know, they do what they do. It's free. if it's down for a while, stiff shit. Top selling games for the week ending 8th of April 2018. Starting number 10, UFC 3. Number 9, Battlefront 2. Number 8, COD World War 2. Number 7, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 6, Horizon Zero Dawn, The Complete Edition. Number 5, GTA 5. Number 4, Crash Insane Trilogy. Number 3, FIFA 18. Number 2, The Lost Legacy. And number 1, Far Cry 5.
How is, like, Lost Legacy still
there? I know. I don't think it's... I think
it's on sale because there's the Easter sale this week. Yeah,
no, right. It ended.
On the, it was on the 11th, didn't it? Yeah, on the 11th. So just fit.
Yeah.
But no, it does it still prove my theory that 8 games get sold a week in Australia.
Well, Far Cry 5 will not be there next week. I can guarantee you that with God of War. God of War will be the top all the way up until Detroit comes out. And then Detroit will be top until... Spider-Man's too far away. It's not going to be up the top for 6 months.
There's a bit of a gap with the exclusives between,
which is weird. I said it last week, and I still think Spider-Man should have been brought forward a bit.
Maybe it's not ready.
Yeah, well, apart from that,
yeah,
I think they should have worked a lot harder.
Yeah, they should have done quicker. They should have put in a little bit more work.
Because Ryan from the Pop Culture has said it should. Who's that fuck? Yeah,
it's just some entitled large man. That's it for the news as we change segments and we have a chat to the players about reviews in 2018.
Yeah, so this one comes from Paul James from Player 2, seasoned Full Players vet. Yeah, he wants to talk about the state of reviews in 2018, whether it be written, whether it be video. A lot of this does come on the back of God of War getting... or in between.
Or an Instagram screenshot of Microsoft Word.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. it's coming off the back of God of War getting nothing but praise at this point. Many nines, many tens. I think it's currently sitting at a Metacritic score of like 94, I think, from like 85 reviews, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Let's get the update.
Yeah, so we'll have a look. So you're a man of the written word.
I am.
We're the man of the videos.
95.
Out of how many?
83.
Oh, nice. So it's kind of right now.
That's
so fucking high. Fantastic.
That's higher than Breath of the Wild, isn't it?
Suck it.
Pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
Because Jim Sterling's score took it down like a number. And people were so... No, for Breath of the Wild, because Jim Sterling gave it a 7 out of 10. Yeah. And it brought its Metacritic score down by 1 point. And people,
I will stand my ground.
People DDoSed his website for that.
That is the correct score for Breath of the Wild.
I'd give it less.
This is not a Nintendo show.
I am a huge Zelda fan. I've played almost every Zelda game ever. And I didn't like it.
It is not as
innovative. It was just a bland open world game with a Zelda skin.
Yeah, it's innovative for Zelda, not for any other game
ever.
What about all the video? I haven't played it, but what about all the videos I've seen of like how they've worked with the physics and put in
other
these...
games have had physics.
No, but this game seems to
have you played Rocket League?
Like this, it seemed like I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Yeah, like the way that you could discover ways you can use physics in the game were different to what I've seen.
Yeah,
before.
No, it was there very good. It was good in the way that if you think, can I maybe do it this way? You normally can. Yeah. Like there's like a maze you have to like tip a ball through. Really hard. You can just flip the maze around and you've got a flat surface just to roll a ball to the end. You know, all little things like that. And
I've seen one of like lighting a fire or something, using some kind of fire spell that heats, like you have like a parachute and let you fly or something. Like,
yeah, and then using the magnet thing to be able to like float yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Like there are
in
some...
that respect, it's done heaps, but the game itself to me was not enjoyable to play.
Interesting.
But this is where this bouncing off that discussion of reviews. Do they have a place anymore? Like even when it comes to scoring, like we're debating here about this random number attributed to a game.
Yeah.
Yes, I think they do.
All right. Well, do you mean the scores or the reviews themselves?
Both, because everyone kind of decides to play a game on different information.
Okay.
Like I might just hear it's good. And it's like, people are talking about it. People say it's good. I'm going to play it. But then there's other people that are more discerning and they're like, I only want to play it if it's like a 9 or a 10. Mm-hmm. You know? And I trust this person's opinion or this website's opinion. And that's where they will, you know, they'll go straight to the score. And then other people are like, well, I want to know what the game is. So they read the review or they listen to it if it's a video. And they listen to what's said about it and the things that the game does. And if the number at the bottom is a 7, they still go, well, it still sounds pretty good. Like all those things that were listed as cons, they're not enough to make me stop playing the game. And something like that might be like The Division. Like, yeah, it wasn't a crazy highly reviewed game, but it was like, it's good. You know,
it was a good
game.
Give
it a go.
Yeah.
And it was a great game. Like, I thought it was a great game. It wasn't perfect. There's a lot of things that I'm really looking forward to them fixing in
the sequel. Side note, are you excited for 2?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
Bros?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll pick it up.
Well, we had fun in the first one.
Yeah, I had fun in the first one until, yeah, you steamrolled.
I had a day off and got like 4 levels ahead of you, and you're like, oh, I don't want to play anymore.
He's not lying. That's the account we're down.
No exaggeration. Yeah.
No, like, but the voice and everything.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's really, what am I trying to say? I guess there's a spectrum of different kinds of audiences who value different types of critique. And it's the same with movies. Same, like, some people just look at Rotten Tomatoes, some people look at Metacritic,
yeah,
some people just look at the trailer and they go, looks cool. Like, they don't read anything or watch anything at all. But as long as there are people who value that, there will still be a need and value for it.
What do you do for your reviews?
What do I do? I depends on like the spoiler levels.
Mm-hmm.
Often I will get, like, say Far Cry 5, I'll just kind of go to the very bottom and see if it's a 9 or a 10 or an 8 or whatever, and sweet, it's good, like, it doesn't suck, you know. If it's like a 6 or something, then I'm probably gonna want to read it and find out why. And then other times it's just the hype comes from my Twitter feed and things like that, and it's like people, what they actually say about it. Like, we all are kind of funny fans and they don't put scores on reviews, they just like talking about it and they give it like a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I don't know exactly what the scale is, but it's like you can kind of get the sense.
It's all right.
there's usually a push or pull into a general consensus for most, like the majority of games. There's polarizing games sometimes where you do have to find the site that you trust or the personalities that you trust and see what they say about it, because, you know, Polygon might give it a 7 and IGN might give it a 9, so you're like, well, which is it? You know, they're both good, they're both good scores, but, you know,
I'm gonna be blown away.
Yeah, exactly. And so when something like God of War comes out, it's so rare for a game to get almost exclusively 9s and 10s, and I think that's why people are freaking out so much about how this game's being received, because usually there's a hot take that's like, this game's like got some social issues on it, like, you know, like, or like Far Cry, like it's not political enough or whatever it is, and this game doesn't seem to have any of that. Like, maybe I've missed it, maybe there's
it's been across the board, everyone's just going to town.
It's you know, Breath of the Wild of 2018, because Breath of the Wild was off to the same kind of start as well. Now, the lowest God of War has on Metacritic is an 80 from 5 people out of 80 something reviews. Yeah. So, you know, 8 still fucking.
And 80s people are awesome.
I guarantee you, people will be like, fuck this site for giving it an 80.
Yeah.
It's worth a 95. Oh, yeah. But
it's worth an
8 out of 10. Yeah. But an 8 out of 10 is still fucking amazing. Yeah. Like,
and out of a 10 point scale, it's great. Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And with the eye test, like, you see this game and you see how good it looks.
Mm.
That plus what we've seen from the reviews backing it up, it's, yeah, it's a lot to get excited about, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, Joshua.
So when I look at, I don't really look at written reviews anymore. I've got a couple of YouTubers I wait for that I trust their opinions. What I don't like, when I'm looking at a video review for a video game, it's got to be over 15 minutes. I don't like these little 4-minute snippets of, you know, bit of backing music. It's like, it's this, it's that, it's that. I give it a 4.5 out of 5. Like, that's,
do you find that 15 minutes, though, is going to get into spoiler territory for some
Not
games?
Really. Like, Angry Joe, I think, does it really well with his angry reviews. Like, there'll be half an hour plus. I enjoy the format, how he kind of breaks it up with dumb little skits and all that kind of stuff. But I watch most of his angry reviews, even if it's a game I'm never going to get, because I just like to hear, he really goes into like the detail that I want to know, like deep dive into like everything about a game. Whereas I don't feel like, you know, anything under 5 minutes can't really give you that full impression. You know, half an hour is probably stretching it a bit, but like Downward Thrust is another one that I like. You know, 10-15 minutes minimum. I find, just give me, go a little bit deeper than like, why did you, like, No, I want to know why you gave it a 4.5 out of 5, but why did you give it a 4.5 out of 5? You know, let me know like the nitty-gritty and everything like that. Having said that, I'm not a fan of numerical scores. Like, we don't numerical score things here anymore either. Just because, one, it causes a heap of drama online, and then it's hard to find the right kind of information because people are pissing and moaning about, you know, it should be a 9, but you gave it a 7.5, and, you know, fuck you, I want to kill your face. But I like reading summaries online. The scores mean nothing to me. I won't, like, if I go to IGN to check out their review of a game, I'll go right to the bottom for sure. But not for the number. I look for like the closing paragraph that they normally do a good summary with as well. Yeah, numbers to me, they just don't mean much, because I've played games before that are 9 or a 10 on according to Metacritic, and I'm like, this is garbage. I hate this game. And then there's games that on Metacritic are a 5 or a 6. Or I really fucking love this game so much. Mm. I just find numbers just, you know, reviews are opinion based, and you know, everyone has different opinions, different people like different things. As I said before, like Jim Sterling gave Zelda Breath of the Wild a 7 out of 10, and then his website got DDoSed and he had all kinds of troubles from that. And it's just people are too attached to this number that really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Getting upset over a review score is one of the dumbest things you can do on
If you come across a review and you're like, I don't agree with this score, well then just don't look at their content anymore. Yeah. You know,
like, you understand, like, not you, but the people on the internet, it's like the time that you're spending shitting on someone's score for a game, you probably could be playing the game and
forming your own opinion. Yeah, that's the thing. Most of the people haven't played it yet.
Yeah.
And it's like I saw someone,
remember No Man's Sky?
Yeah.
Mm. Everyone's gonna come out average reviews, everyone's like, what, this game's the game of the generation.
Well, what was the game that was out? There was a game that was out in February. I can't remember for the life of me what it was, but it had a bit of controversy behind it. And I went to Metacritic for the user score reviews, and it's getting, you know, zeros and twos. Metal Gear Survive, and people are starting with, "I haven't played the game, but hashtag fuck Konami." Get fucked, man.
How's that getting onto Metacritic?
In the user section, which is just cancer all the time.
But, you know, some user reviews can be helpful. You know, I don't tend to look at the user reviews that have maybe a 7. You know, 10 out of 10 can be a bit like, come on. If 80 people have given a 10 out of 10, it's like, come on. You know, 7 or an 8, I tend to find where, like, the real information is and the real criticism of it too. But yeah, and you know, people just giving it a score just because I don't like this developer and they should go away forever.
Yeah.
That's but reviews definitely have a place. I mean, they have to. They always have, and they always will.
I hope they do, because this is what we do.
Yeah. No, not really.
No, well, we still review things, but not conventionally.
Yeah. But yeah, I think people just cling to these numbers way, way too much.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic the way people get wrapped up in that kind of thing. Like, you want a game that you're excited about to do well, and you get excited when it has a high score, and you might get disappointed when it has a low score, but to tell the reviewer that they're wrong when they're the ones that spent however long playing it, however long thinking about it, crafting it, and the idea that they get paid off to score well or not is the stupidest thing.
Like, and adding to that, what I find very interesting with the internet is how the internet as a whole, their love for reviews will flip at a second. If it's a game that they think should be reviewed higher, everyone's paid off, it's wrong, you know, whatever, right? But the second, like, you know, reviews don't count. Look at any forum, any Facebook group, like, yeah, I don't read reviews, I make my own decisions. Whenever it's a game that they weren't happy with the reviewer. But if there's ever a review that supports their opinion, supports their thoughts on it, like, reviewers are right, man. Reviewers love it. It means it has to be good.
Yeah. Fun fact, God of War is also available on PlayStation 2, according to Metacritic. Release date, 20th of April, 2018. Also on PlayStation 2.
I think that might be like a glitch where...
But didn't you see the PS2 edition coming out?
Where it's like, it has the exact same name. Like this...
Yeah.
Because the original one was called that too. Yeah.
But I guarantee you, like, at the moment,
delivery, that was beautiful. Well done.
All the critic scores are in the green, because anything under 80 on a Metacritic goes to a yellow, which is a mixed review. I guarantee you, the first one to put up a mixed review is going to get shat on. Mm. like to the, because like death threats aren't something that doesn't happen in the, like for reviews, and they have happened. They've happened to people at IGN. They've happened to people like YouTubers. You know, I don't agree with your opinion. I'm going to come and kill you.
Or someone should.
Or yeah. Or I hope you die. It's just, I don't know. It gives me the shits. Like the whole culture around reviews tends to give me the shits. Form your own opinions.
I like to go on a different place with my reviews. Like I'm a fan of a good old discussion.
Review discussions,
and that's why we do them here. I think it's the best way to really gauge a game in another way. So rather than hearing one person's opinion, you're hearing a collective opinion. Three different people have different experiences, and then sort of amalgamating that together.
If we could just get a structure for when we do that,
yeah, we never have a structure. We just bullshit about it until we're done. Like, if we're done, all right, cool. I'm a big fan. Like, and the reason that we do it as well is, yeah, I think scores are somewhat arbitrary. They have a place. But I personally don't use them for that. I, you know, ours comes down to, would you recommend it? Yeah. Mm. Or would you? No. Mm. You know what I mean? Like if the cons outweigh the pros, no.
And you know, it is a hard thing to say, like, would you recommend it, and to come out with a no. You know, it is a hard thing to say when you've been given a code and you need to send that information through to the people that gave you the code. You know, it is, but it just makes you be a lot more, I think, honest. Yeah. Like, if I'm going to say I don't recommend it, I really need to stress my reasons why, and make it a little bit deeper than just it's not fun.
And on top of that, because a lot of the reviews do come through, like you and I, Josh, you know, it's kind of like I intentionally stay away from reviews as much as I can, because, like, you know, if we have to review it, if we're getting it prior to release, there's not always reviews that we could read, even if we wanted to.
I wouldn't have seen this if we weren't talking about it today, because I've been actively avoiding.
I have, yeah, I've not seen. Like, I'm doing the same thing. Like, I saw IGN score, and I'm like 10. All right, cool. And then I'm like, stepped away. Like, I've not seen anything. I've not listened to anything, because like I want to go into this open. I want to be able to review this.
But now you're already expecting a 10 out of 10 experience.
I was expecting.
You know what I
mean? I was expecting one. I've been jerking this game's dick for way too long at this point.
See, we'll have an interesting discussion about God of War, because I've never finished a God of War. I think I've played 3 for maybe a couple of hours, and that's my experience with God of War. I'm like, Kratos is cool. I like the gameplay, but
I've completed like 80% of them.
So. Yeah, and you're like balls deep in this franchise, so I think we'll have an interesting discussion about it.
Yeah, it's a hard thing, because if you're only giving a yes or a no, then it doesn't. I think the conversation itself is really important for that nuance, and that's, I guess, up to the person listening to have the time to want to hear all of that. But a lot of people don't. They just want to be like, you know,
tell me I should buy this. Yeah, validate my want to buy this game.
Like, Metacritic is great for that kind of thing, where it's like, is this game widely considered good, or is it widely considered bad?
Yeah.
And a yes or a no doesn't do that, and it's not like a recommended, highly recommended, like, and the thing that when you do those discussions is you can say, I didn't like this game, I don't recommend it, but if you're into, but
there's some redeemable factors
can say, if you're into this or if you like this game, then you probably will really enjoy it, but if you aren't into that, I don't, like, you can do that.
You've nailed it there, because like the nuance is what I love. And I think that's lacking. I've said this 1,000 times on many different shows. Nuance is what's lacking in general now with the internet. You can only be one or the other. There's no in the middle. And even, you know, granted, we say that with recommend or not recommend, that's one or the other, but it's the asterisk that comes with it, and with the little extra thoughts.
Yeah. Sure. You know either love it or you hate it. You can't be like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And like, I think the games media as a whole is adapting to this new way of quote-unquote reviewing games, obviously with the influencer. You know, the average influencer doesn't review a game anymore. They'll talk about their experience, and whether it be as we said, an Instagram picture or, you know, a couple of tweets that just says,
I fucking hate that, like, down to my soul, I hate that.
Oh, really?
It's just really informal. Like, I don't know, I'm not in that scene, because I don't use social media pretty much at all, except for the Pop C group on Facebook. Other than that, I don't use Twitter, I don't use Instagram and all that. I think I'm out of that loop. So to me, that just seems just really like informal and honestly unprofessional. But I'm just not up with the times, I think.
Yeah, well, I guess the devs are still giving them.
Yeah, I mean, they get it. You know, if they're getting the codes, they're getting it for a reason, and what they're doing must be working, and you know, the industry must like it. So there's obviously something there. I think I'm old. I'm past understanding that.
Yeah, look, I'm in the same boat as you there. You know, I agree that it shouldn't be as simple as, hey, I've played it, here's my 140 characters or less revealed thoughts of the game.
But having said that, that pops up. Yeah.
Yeah, but I have transitioned from old. I used to read a lot of reviews, but I have. Like, I'm not so old that I will only read. Like, I've transitioned to video. Like, I will watch more video reviews than anything.
But having said that, you see a tweet like that, just like, you know, 140 character tweet about the game review, whatever. You see that at a glance, but what you don't see is a person behind the screen and what else they do and what else they've been doing or what else they've done in the past to warrant that as well.
Yeah.
But I.
That's right. If, like, Colin Moriarty does a tweet review, you're like,
Oh, it's a little different.
You're
okay.
Like, oh, shit. Yeah, but then you know that something's coming out. Like, you know, he'll work on something else later.
Probably. Well, possibly. He's done one review since starting to cover games.
That was Wolfenstein,
again.
Yeah, wasn't it?
No, it was
Nino Kuni.
That's right, yeah.
And he's going to do one for God of War by the time this is out. Yeah.
But you know, when he chooses a game to review, you know there's a very good reason, whether it's good or bad, you know it means something, yeah?
That's right.
Another man you've spoken to, by the way.
Yes, I have.
that's the one I'm really jealous of.
50-something.
I considered once with Colin, there's a Patreon tier, one-off payment, you get a Skype face call with him. I did consider that.
How
pretty
much
heavily.
That one?
I think about $300.
Yeah.
Yeah. But while
he'll
I'm not working full time.
He'll make it worth it, I'm sure.
I know, yeah. It's still on the cards for me. I still might want to do that at some point. I just find him a fascinating person.
He really is. And before we move on to the next thing, how do you guys feel about the review after not finishing a game? Because you've obviously.
Thanks for looking at me.
Obviously
that,
stated that you do not finish the majority of games you play, but I'm assuming that you review some of them. So is it? I guess you can present it as, here's our impressions, or here's our review of the first 10 hours, 5 hours, whatever it is. But how do you feel about people giving a score to something that they've only played?
Well,
like
that's exactly why we don't score things.
Sure.
And because of the format of what we do, like with For the Players, we'll give our initial impressions on a game with as much time as we could have with it before that show. Mm. But then every week we'll update our progress with it, like you've been doing with Far Cry for the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
But then it also becomes, if I didn't finish it, we normally
explain why
either because something else came out, couldn't finish in time, or it just wasn't good enough to hold my attention all the way through. So we don't, we tend to not, like, we'll have our, you know, we're definitely going to have, like, you know, God of War initial impressions or whatever, but I guarantee you for the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll still be kind of adding, because we discuss the game as we come through it. We don't try to, because I don't believe in blitzing a game to get the to get your thoughts out first, and that's something that's a whole other thing entirely.
And it's impossible now too, because like the reviews are all out from the major outlets a week before most people can even touch it.
Yeah, so we're in a lucky place, but a not so lucky place. We're right in the middle. Like, we're sort of like lower echelon media, right? Like we'll get, like, we won't get it super early. We may get it a couple of days before embargo, so like we only have a small period of time to work with it before embargo. So, you know, for that reason, we're able to get a little bit further than anybody else if we try. So when we do release some sort of content, it'll be, hey, here's a bit more than what the average person would be able to spend with it.
Sure.
But that's the exact reason we don't score.
Yeah, and you know, the need to be the first review on the website leads me to think that, you know, they rushed their playthrough with it sometimes.
Maybe not.
You know, that might just be hyperbolic completely. But just from an impression, it's like, how could you, like, Persona 5, the thing is, you don't know how early they get it either. But, you know, when Persona 5 has a full review out, you know, a week and a half before the game's out, it's like, how much of the game did you, actually kind of get through?
But I do think there are some games where you can get deep enough and understand what it is, and you go, okay, cool, that's what it is. If it's something that's driven gameplay or by the actual systems itself, I think that you can really pick what that's going to be by the end.
Yeah.
Like, where something like God of War, it's very story driven this time, you cannot play 30% of this and give it a review.
Yeah. I think my review of Persona 5 at 50 hours and 120 hours would have been pretty much the same.
Yeah. And that's
no,
the thing, like,
not
if,
for
if
me.
If you get dense enough into it, you'll be like, I know what this is going to be. I know where it's heading. It's fine.
I found the last probably 20 hours to really kind of make me go from like, this is really good to like, this is fucking sick.
Mm.
Just the last probably two palaces, I think the last one dragged on way too long, but just a couple of story beats towards the end, I was like, oh shit, that I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
But every,
I
mean,
I think I was just maybe over it by that point, because I did.
But you're so far through it, you're like, I need to tick this off.
I didn't play, like, apart from jumping into like some Telltale episodes here and there, I didn't play anything else. I just played Persona for like 3 months, and it was like starting to get to the point where I was like, okay, get through this
push
conversation,
square to like fast forward,
read these text messages.
And like, that can also be a detriment as well. Like, I played, speaking of Shadow of War, like I played, I don't know, 20-30 hours of that, and I'm like, this is more of the same, I'm really not feeling it. Granted, I didn't even get to the end game with the whole actual big battleground fortressy shit stuff is, and that's the big difference. I didn't, like, you know, because I stopped and I didn't get to the point where it is an actual change.
So at that point, it's not fair to give it a score, which is exactly why we don't score things here.
But yeah, no, I think especially with what we do, and we'd like to think that our audience understands as well, that we are, you know, we are time poor. You know, I work full time, have a family, I run this thing. You know, like, we have X amount of time, so we try to get as much. If I'm not sleeping or doing any of those other things, I'm probably playing games. So it's like, it's just the best we can do.
Yeah.
Or eating.
Yeah.
We can do.
For a fat dude, I surprisingly don't eat a lot.
You can sleep and game and eat all at the same time. You can work them in together.
What's the go-to food whilst gaming?
I don't. I'm not a fan of the food on controllers.
Yeah.
Really? Migurang with a poached egg.
Really? Mm-hmm. Very specific.
I got into that when I was playing Persona 5. I was like, I really want Japanese food. I had mee goreng in the cupboard. So I made mee goreng.
The lowest rung Japanese.
When it's boiling in the pot, if you crack an egg on top of the noodles, it'll poach itself in between the noodles. So then, you know, when you got your noodles, they pop the egg in. It's
just Mr. Fancy over here.
Yeah.
Or Vegemite toast.
Yeah, I don't really eat while I'm gaming. I usually pause just for that 10 minutes and...
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes.
Or wait for a massive cutscene.
I see my son Alex, like, playing PlayStation. He's got a bag of Oreos next to him. I'm like, looking like, you're fucking that controller up so hard. Yeah. There's like all crumbs and stuff, and he's like, Dad, the joystick's not working. It's because there's half a Dorito in the controller.
But yeah, no, a lot of my gaming happens later at night when, like, you know, my son's in bed and Millie's just farting around. You know, she's probably in bed too. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I was playing now. And then it's like 10 o'clock. I'm like, probably shouldn't eat now.
Yeah. Good idea. Why?
That's probably why I got fat.
Oh, yeah.
I guess yogurt, maybe. Sometimes I'll have a tub of yogurt.
No, I'd think about that, and then I'd
put. Or you just bring the tub out and just go to town on it.
Just sit it in between the controller. Get a custom built controller that holds your yogurt and just power down on it while playing. I've seen that with like the Switch. You can get like little Joy-Con grip things. You put like chips and shit.
It's a bit far, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's time to finish this segment.
Yeah, somehow we went to reviews about eating, playing games. But anyway, what do you guys thinks of reviews? Yeah, that's right. What do you think of the reviews? Is it something that you sort of pay a lot of attention to, or do you like the discussion format similar to what we do? I hope so, because that's probably why you're watching. Or, you know, like those big long ass reviews that Josh was talking about. Comment below, let us know, or go to the Facebook group and we'll start a discussion there.
I would like, if we had the time, I would do those long reviews.
Yeah, it was like, we used to do that. Like, we used to film dumb little skits. Like, for Resident Evil 7, we filmed in a basement of a friend's place.
Yeah.
And we were, there's this whole pre-built written scripts, like, build-up.
Yeah, it was good time.
Where
and
Dylan
For Honor
punched
as
us,
well.
Kidnapped us, and threw us in a basement because we were taking too long to review the game.
Yeah.
And then For Honor, we went out to a field, we all dressed up, and we fought each other, and it was fun.
Yeah.
Like, we just, as we've gotten, you know, since then,
busier.
We got busier and busier, and it's like we just don't have time.
You're doing more shows. You're doing this now. This takes up a lot of time.
We're doing less shows, if anything.
Yeah, we're doing somehow less shows, but more time.
We used to put out 4 videos a week at one point.
Yeah, it was 3, yeah.
Now we put out one video, this, and 2 streams normally.
Yeah, but we used to record everything in one day, so it made it really easy. But now it's 4 days of shooting, really, compared to one.
Yeah.
Is the movie show not every week?
No, it should be every... Dylan's moving house right now, so it's on like a little... hiatus. But yeah, anyway, that's look, God of War is coming out this week, but that's not the only game that's coming out this week. So we dive into the drop, where we literally just read what games are coming out this week in a section called coming
drop.
It may as well just be God of War, because everyone is avoiding this game like the plague. Assetto Corsa Ultimate Edition, Casey Powell Lacrosse 18.
I know, I'm glad that game's coming out.
Drive on Moscow, God of War.
Please read the thing. Just get
from Santa Monica Studios and creative director Corey Barlog comes a new beginning for one of gaming's most recognizable icons. Living as a man outside the shadow of the gods, Kratos must adapt to unfamiliar lands, unexpected threats, and a second chance at being a father. There you go. Gunhouse. Phantom Trigger, PS4 Digital, Slide, PS4 Digital, and Yakuza 6.
That's a big release to come alongside Gods of War.
I'd imagine they're pretty different audiences for the most part. So. But yeah, that's...
There'll be that like one guy you know playing that this week.
Yeah, I don't know. His name's Ben Baird. Hey, Ben.
Obviously God of War, top pick for the week.
Oh yeah. Cannot wait.
Yeah, that's it. So, after feedback from last week's show and the question we posed in the show about, you know, sharing, I probably should have thought a name for this segment. We'll go from that into sharing with the players, where each week we bring something, some form of media, TV, movie, book, music, something to share with everyone, just get a bit of love flowing. We do like games, but we do like other things too. Ryan, what would you like to share with the players this week?
Putting on me first, like I forgot what I was going
to
be.
Jono, is there anything you'd like to share with the players this week?
I'm going to be on Jack's podcast. It is what it is this week. Monday.
Damn, I should have made that my thing.
Yeah. And you can see Ryan's episode that came out on Monday. Go check that out. And the 8-Bits kind of flagship podcast, The Hungry Gamers, is reaching episode 100 this week. So that's going to be awesome. Brendan and Salim and Ali. Great Australian podcast about video games, not just PlayStation like you guys. So I guess it's not direct competition.
Well, as I said to Jack, like, I've heard of 8-Bit, and that's I'm like, probably should check out these guys. And then I saw like where they sit in like the iTunes. I'm like, I should have known who these guys are.
Yeah, because I remember talking to you like maybe last time I was here, and you're like, there's not really anyone else doing
like big
a big games podcast. And it's like, how did this go under the radar? Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh man, like, because it's good shit.
Yeah, that's real a great good show. Shit.
Yeah.
Mm. Ryan?
I'm just going to go with what I, because. So today, recently, Jason Schreier did a big random drop of this new Bioshock game coming out, talking about the behind the scenes of Hangar 13 and Mafia 3 and their development. But if you want to dive a little bit deeper, you can go pick up his book, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, which is fucking fantastic. It's a great, like, there's only one reason I love it, though, because it talks about Harvest Moon Back to Nature. He talked to the guy that makes Stardew Valley, and he's like, I love Harvest Moon Back to Nature. I'm like, number one book. But no, there's some great talks about like The Witcher, talks about Shovel Knight and a bunch of other really cool games as well. And it's a nice little deep dive into the development process and the creative process around games and how, you know, something as simple as Halo Wars, you know, it stemmed from a different place. You know, they're like, we wanted to do an RTS. And they're like, you know what? Put Halo on it. Like, but we don't, like, put Halo on it.
No, no clip in book form.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, essentially.
Kind
of. But yeah, Jason Schreier is a man of many scoops, and it's good to have them all put together in one place.
Yeah, I need to check that out.
Yeah, me too. I've been meaning to get that.
I should finish it with Lenten.
So we got a podcast. We got a book. I recommend some music. Last of the Wilds by Nightwish. Are you fans of Nightwish?
I'm a big fan of like Slaying the Dreamer. It's a one song that I know that really
this well. Is fully, this is an instrumental song.
Okay.
No vocals. It is my... me personally, but it is my everything is going to work out song. It's just very, very somber, but very uplifting, but also fucking right, like rocking. Yeah, but it also fucking rocks as well. So here's a 10-second clip. That was it. Hope you like it. I'll edit that in.
All right, cool.
And also, whenever we do our like pre-show post, when we remember, we'll be reaching out to you guys if you anything else you would like to share with us and the other players around. Can I do the spiel now?
Yeah, well, Jono can do his sell first.
Yeah.
If you're a big fan of Jono Peck.
This guy. I'm putting in work every Thursday morning. You can check that out. Interviews with the creative people that catch my attention, such as yourself. Just delving into the...
We're up there with Colin Moriarty, right?
So far, it's a relatively exclusive list.
Yeah.
Comparatively. Like, granted, on that run, we're like, way down here. But we're in the same list.
You are. You're on the list. You're on the list. But yeah, just
your need for your need for validation just really gets me sometimes. It outweighs
everything else. Yeah,
absolutely.
Sorry.
I'm the Michael Scott of the pop culturist. Please love me.
Please love me.
I've watched a lot of Office like the last 2 weeks. It is a fucking fantastic show, by the way.
You are loved. But yeah, I guess if I'm pitching my show again, I'll just say it's like a delving into the grit and grind that goes into the work behind what makes these cool things happen, whether it's books, movies, podcasts, YouTube videos, stand-up comedians and game devs and yeah, just cool stories in general. So check that out.
Can you mention who you're doing this week, or is it
this
top
week
secret?
Is far out. I haven't edited it yet, so I'm not exactly sure. I think it will be someone from the 8-Bit Collective, though.
Very nice.
I just had a Steve Smith, an ESPN freelancer, go out. And next weekend, I am interviewing a very busy person in the games industry, I will say.
Oh. Hey. It's not us, because we don't do shit.
Is it Dylan?
It's not.
No. Oh. That's why Dylan couldn't do for popcorn this week. I'm busy.
No, sorry.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Now you can, Josh.
That PlayStation conversation happened on Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, simply join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. Or if you're feeling generous, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Look at the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to show your love for the Pop Culturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop. And as I said, if we were wearing them, you would see them. But there are new designs coming this week, some topical ones even. Mm-hmm. And there is a sale in the next couple of days as well to sort of, I just tagged them alongside the sale. Just sort of like, hey, here's new shirts and a sale so you can buy some shit. But of course, we are also on Twitch, twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We are now Twitch affiliated. I'm trying to do a lot more over there as well. Now that I've got my voice back, I can actually stream some more.
Shame.
Yeah, I had the sexy.
I enjoyed the quiet time, to be honest.
Fuck you.
I'm you Ryan would. Metzen. I'm Josh Saunders.
I'm Jono himself. On Twitter.
I'm like, through my mind. What? But yeah, so that is Jono himself. And that was for the players. That stumped me so hard. Like, oh, what?